morning, Friday. Chilly. Today's the coldest day so far, hey? I checked on my car went bing, and I looked. I thought, oh God, no, what's wrong? And then I saw like 0.0. Yeah, so it's 0 degrees this morning in Johannesburg. Hope wherever you are, it's a bit more pleasant. I don't know though, because I think there are parts of the country that are way colder than that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anywhere in the Free State. Yes, as that place gets cold. Anyway, Simpiu is here. We're ready to guide you through your Friday morning. I've had a pretty busy week. I'm sure you have too. And if you've got anything exciting to tell us, you can join us in the comments. Also, sign up by subscribing, liking, get the notifications, blah, blah, blah. You know how it all works. I don't have to. You're an old hand at this. You know what you're doing. Click, 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 done. All right, so we reached the end of the first week of July already, and yeah, so it's apparently going to be a freezing weekend too, so make sure that you don't have too many things planned that require you to have to go out with multiple layers of clothing on, you know?
No, that doesn't sound fun.
No, but it's better than being cold.
Yeah, okay. I guess.
Yeah. We went out for dinner. I say we, the whole bunch of us here from the office went out for dinner on Wednesday after some meetings. And I was sitting at the table, and this hasn't happened to me for a long time. Suddenly started getting a, you know, like that migraine kind of like when you're seeing things in triple and lights and
had
like
you eaten
can't focus
that day?
Yeah, I had, but late. But I don't know what it was. It hasn't happened to me for probably about 8 years, maybe a bit longer.
Sure.
Anyway, very irritating. So like halfway through the dinner, I'm like, guys, I got to go. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see the road on the way home, right? So drove through, got into bed, and went straight to sleep. And then woke up with like, you know when you've got like a headache hangover? Your head is still sore if you move it around quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of headache. Yes. It's like a long, sustained kind of headache thing. I really thought I was over these migraines, but there we go. That one's back just to keep me humble.
Mm.
Have you got any plans for the weekend?
Actually, I do, but it's being a grown-up and running around, doing some errands, which is never fun because it's like the beginning of the month, so this is when we usually go like shopping for groceries with my
grand.
So responsible. Yeah. Oh, I hate it so much.
You want to do all the irresponsible stuff.
I still want to be a kid, you know, I want to identify as a child.
Bad news, kind of done.
Yeah, doing all of the grown-up stuff, getting whatever is lacking in the house, some light bulbs.
Oh, that's so boring.
So fun, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not great. I wonder what, you know, the cool things are to do in the winter because you don't really have much outside stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know, the other problem is, of course, that it's cold in the morning, it's cold in the evening, but daytime is actually fine.
Oh, yes.
So it can be very confusing. You like start your day and you think, brr, it's going to be awful. And then by 10, 11 o'clock.
You're like stripping off. You're like,
like outside, let me get into some sun. This is not so bad. What is everybody complaining about? So people think if you don't live in Joburg, for example, and then obviously other parts of the country, this is true, then they think you're crazy because in the morning you're complaining about how cold it is. In the middle of the day, you're like, whew, it's hotter. So all right, we won't complain about the weather anymore. But there we are. It is dead center of winter now, so I suppose we've got to get over ourselves. This is what happens. So a few things that are going on in the news. Let's take a look at a couple of stories that are making headlines this Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Apple have been sued for $5 million over iMessage bug that exposes infidelity. So they're being sued because their technology is exposing someone doing something terrible.
I love it.
Yeah, this is 2024. So a man who was caught cheating on his wife is suing Apple $5 million. That was the cost of his divorce. The man was caught cheating when his wife discovered text messages to sex workers on his Apple devices, which he believed he had deleted. This brings to light a long-standing issue with Apple's iMessage system, which promises to delete messages across all devices, but often fails to do so. The lies. The iMessage system is designed to sync. Listen, I got to tell you, it's so shit. It like even for me, it keeps on popping up with the screen going, do you want to turn on iMessage? I'm like,
no.
I think I told you this yesterday. Next day, do you want to turn on iMessage? Like, I think we've had this discussion. And by the third time, you're, what are you, fucking retarded? Stupid phone. It'll come on today. Watch. I'll take a screenshot of it. Do you want to turn on iMessage? I'm like, yes, I think that's what I told you yesterday and the day before and the day before. Apple, get your shit together. Anyway, the feature allows users to send and receive messages on any device, increasing convenience and efficiency. Which, you know, is the reason everybody wants it, right? Everybody pretends. There's this whole group of people in the world who pretend that they're after efficiency and making things smoother and allowing people to be connected all the time. But actually, they just want to fuck around.
Yeah.
And then they use that as their excuse. No, I have to have my iPad and my phone and my laptop, and I have to have three other backup systems. You're like, what are you, the Pope?
It's just a lifestyle thing.
You're so important. Oh, yeah, I've got my one calendar on here. I met someone the other day. I don't know what this person does for a living. He was telling me how busy he is, right?
Oh, okay. Oh.
Now, the moment someone
one
tells
of those,
you,
hey,
oh,
like,
please.
I don't have time to this do
guy,
anything.
This
you know?
Guy is so important and so busy. And I'm like, what do you do again? Oh, no, he sells hot dogs or whatever.
Okay. Like, I'm sure that keeps him very busy.
I'm making
time.
It up. It's not hot dogs. But it's like that. It's something. I'm like, wow, so you have to have all this technology and you have to have this complicated diary with different colored appointments and stuff. Because you sell so many of these that what you're in, what Joe Biden's trying to get hold of you?
Oh, my word.
Who in the world is trying to meet up? The whole new cabinet is like all calling him at once. Like, we've got to set up a time with you. It's really, really urgent. He's like, well, I can maybe schedule you in on Thursday at 9:15 and 3 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. People
let's
are like that.
Let's make it 9:17, 18. Let's make it 9:18, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Please. It's just nonsense. Anyway. The delete from all your devices feature is supposed to allow losers, listen to me, users to delete a message on one device and have it removed from all the others. However, numerous users have reported that this feature does not work as promised. So you can't lie and cheat.
I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. I think the way he got caught cheating, I don't feel sorry for him. But I will say to Apple, you can take maybe a page from WhatsApp's book, because WhatsApp protects cheaters out there. They have disappearing messages.
They do, hey?
You know, they have, like, you can lock the app itself.
I know. Someone showed me. So I didn't even know about that.
You can even lock messages.
Yes. So
I'm just saying,
thing.
Apple, you can just take a page out of that, because whoever is inventing all of those features is a serial professional cheater and is not trying to get caught anytime soon.
How's all those features that we didn't know about? Someone showed me that the other day. They're like, well, if you put in a passcode, right?
Yes.
Then you don't know. Like, if you're someone else snooping around in somebody's phone, unless you know that passcode and you type it in, that you won't even know that message there. So it's not like they ask you for a password.
No.
It's like you have to know that there is a secret code before you even get. I mean, this is like Dan Brown from the Da Vinci Code is sitting there going, oh, can't believe it. This is the best thing I've ever heard. This is like wild for cheaters. So you have to then type in whatever that passcode is.
Yes.
Could be letters, numbers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then it opens up this whole other screen that is just the hidden messages.
Yes.
I didn't know about this. And they don't appear at all, hey? You could search, like I could search Simpiwe.
And it's not gonna
even
pop up.
And if I put her in the secret folder, they're not. It's not going to come up. So if you're a like super sleuth wife, like this one maybe, and you're trying to catch your husband out, and you go on there and you're like, well, I'll type in some of the girls I think he might be talking to his names, or I'll type in some rude stuff or whatever, like some sex chat nonsense or whatever. Let me tell you, you're not going to find it. You're going to find nothing.
At all.
Because all of those hidden messages, they're going to put them in a completely separate place. You won't know they exist. So, yeah, WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp is leading the pack. I mean,
someone
they even
in
have
there.
A view once.
Yes.
So if you want to send something a bit risque, you know, the person can only view it once and they can't screenshot. I'm professional serial cheaters. That's what I'm saying. That's the only thing that WhatsApp is really like concerned about, protecting all cheaters at all costs. And yeah. I'm like, hey, do you, boo-boo?
Apple used to be innovators. This is some of the comments here. From Congo Chris, leading the pack. Now they just copy Android. That's true. Yeah. I think that's absolutely right.
They're very lazy.
And I'm an Apple fan, but this is true.
We have to be honest.
JP says, can WhatsApp please get rid of voice note? I get the convenience, but man, I don't like it. Yeah, you know, people are irresponsible. That's not WhatsApp's fault. That's irresponsible people. And we've discussed Gord Laws, for example, who sends podcasts. But you just got to keep it. Okay, so the rule. Mm-hmm. My rule anyway. If it's under a minute, I'll listen to it.
Yes.
If it's over a minute, forget about it. Just forget about it. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. There's nothing. If you need to talk to me for that long, you need to talk to me. Don't you think?
But if I'm explaining something, you know, like just get this there, I put that there, just, you know, when you get to the house, just turn left, then you're going to turn right, and then you're going to see this blue thing, and then this blue thing is over there, and when you see that, like...
Superior, if advertisers are spending millions of rands to make a 30-second commercial...
That's true.
...in order to sell you something you might never have heard of before, and they are willing to put millions of rands into that 30 seconds to make it the best 30 seconds that they can show for their product or their service, then the rest of us can do a minute. I'm doubling the time, and I expect you to be...
Okay, so...
You know, at least half as concise.
I mean, could they technically send a 2-minute voice note and you listen at twice the speed, therefore it's a minute long?
No, because now you're putting a responsibility on me. Oh. Now... You know, the point of a voice note, okay, so there are a couple of occasions where a voice note may be required. I think we've been over some of this before, but it bears repeating because these are the rules, the modern rules of etiquette. It used to be that you had to send a gilt-edged invitation to someone's house, and then the postal service would bring you a reply 3 weeks later or whatever, and then you'd have to get ready, and then they'd have to get ready, and then they'd pitch up at the appointed time, and there was a whole lot of shit, right? Now people are like, hey, what you doing? Yeah, you want to come over? Yeah, cool. So voice notes are always okay if you're driving, as long as they're short.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone sends you a message, they're like, hey, I need to confirm this. Are you free tomorrow at 3:00? Then you don't have to check your diary and give them a yes or no right there. You'd be like, I'm driving. I thought I'd send you this voice note so you knew I got your message. When I get to my destination, I'll send you a reply. Thanks. Bye. Cool.
Okay.
If it's an emergency and you are like really swamped, you're like, I can't talk to you now. Let's talk later or whatever. If it's something that kind of moves the conversation on, then a voice note's fine as well.
Okay.
But you can usually type in. I mean, I've got all these keyboard shortcuts on mine.
Okay. That's good.
First of all, the rude words, like, because otherwise they keep on asking, they keep changing fuck to duck and so on.
That's true.
And it drives me mad. So now I've got all the rude words as short keyboard shortcuts. So it's fuck. So in other words, if I type it, it's not going to ask me like, oh,
did
should
you
we change
duck?
This? Did you? Exactly. Don't want to do that. But then it's also useful for things like giving someone your address, your office address, your home address or whatever. I just type in office ad and then it comes up.
Right? Okay, cool.
So those are useful. But you can also use those keyboard shortcuts for like, standard replies.
Yeah.
Like, can't talk now. We'll be able to call you at the end of the day.
Yes.
For people who are calling you during office hours about non-work things. And if it's work people, you're like, in a meeting, chat later, send me a reminder, please, in an hour and a half.
Our work messages get muted. I will tell you now.
Really?
Yes, I just mute. And if I see it, I see it.
There we go.
I don't.
And I'm telling you, a lot of stuff is just falling by the wayside. And then people go like, because now at the office here, we've just started with Slack.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm actually happy about that.
Tell me why.
Because I like the fact that I can have WhatsApp to myself for my family and friends.
Okay.
And then have Slack for work. And I can also just have it on my laptop. So when I shut the laptop, I know that I'm done with work. I don't need to stress about messages. And if it's important... If it's important, I'll either get a WhatsApp direct message or I'll get a call to be like, hey, can you please check this? And then I know, okay, cool. So this is the reason. Otherwise, you have too many WhatsApp messages coming in most inappropriate times. And sometimes it's not even work related. Like our WhatsApp groups, guys, it's just sometimes chats, vibes. And I'm like, I want to sleep.
Right. Max Sony says, that's the best, Ms. S. Mute all of them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we've all got different systems. I don't have email on my phone. It's one thing I won't do. So if you need to email me, it's going to be on the laptop. And I pretty much don't look at that over the weekend, unless there's stuff I have to do that I'm doing on my own. I'm not going to be telling other people what to do over a weekend. But everyone has their systems, right? So there isn't a perfect thing. We're just telling you how we do it. You might have a much better way of doing things. Who knows? So here we go. This is quite cool. Gareth, last week you and Sims were poking fun at some ridiculous names. I work for a logistics company and my top four drivers' names are Geel Boy, Klein Boy, Landlord, and 14.
Hey, boy, Landlord.
Landlord.
And also 14, like, hi, I'm 14.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So how old are you? I'm 37. What's your name? 14.
Yeah. It'll be nice for that 1 year. When you're 14, you can answer two questions with one answer, right? For that 1 year. But outside of that, it's going to be extra work. Rebellious Ruth asks a good question here. Maybe we'll talk to Hanan. I'm not here on Monday, by the way. I've got some things to do. I'm away for the day, but Simpiwe will be running the ship. So you get a double dose of her over the course of the beginning and end of the weekend here. But Dr. Hanan will be on Monday. And this is a good question, right? Why do people cheat? Perhaps Dr. Hanan can shed some light on the subject. I mean, there's so many reasons, right? I've done it once in my life, and I felt so bad about it because I kind of got taught a karmic lesson straight away. I had a car accident that same day.
Hectic.
Yeah, so I was like, not going to do this again.
Sure.
And that was long ago.
I wish most cheaters went through that, eh?
Well, put the fear of God in me, tell you what. But I don't know. People do it maybe people do it out of boredom. Maybe people do it because they like having variety in their life and they can't just settle down. Maybe they lack self-discipline.
Yes. Self-discipline.
That's the biggest one. And also, you know, we live in a world where there are so many temptations thrown at people that if you don't have self-discipline, you're going to find every excuse to do the things that you shouldn't do.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's not a numerous clauses of reasons that people would cheat. I don't know what the other ones are, but if you've got any ideas for what we could, you know, throw at Dr. Hanan on Monday, maybe you've got some ideas. I think it's cowardly and it's from people who lack self-esteem, says Ruth, answering her own question.
Ooh.
Never cheat, says JP. Be a man or a woman and break it off with your SO.
Significant other?
Ah, okay, before having your fun. Okay. Now, sometimes these acronyms, I'm like, what? Takes me
come
a while.
Again?
And then sometimes you get them completely wrong, right?
Yeah.
Which race group cheats more? I say the blacks, says Mfundo. Yeah, you're going to start a race war now about this.
Black people are a problem, bro.
There's a meme in this. There's a meme. I don't know, Mfundo. I don't think any race is a monopoly on being shitty.
Yeah.
I think they all have. You know, it's just, don't tell me that anyone ever feels good about cheating. In the long run, they can't. I don't think anybody wakes up, even if they have had the most terrible marriage, or maybe they've been in a really bad relationship and they've thought, ugh, I'm kind of glad I got out of that, even if it was by cheating. I don't think they say that. I think they're like, I should have done it the right way. I should have broken up with them, treated them with a little respect. Then I would have emerged the better person at the end of it.
Yes.
You know? Signet says, don't commit. Just be a slut if you're a serial cheater. Yeah.
Be honest with thyself. If you can't Deirdre. Be monogamous, just no, don't just do don't. It.
Deirdre says, the Ashley Madison, do you remember that? That was a dating site once.
Oh, my
word. Slogan was, life is short, have an affair.
Guys!
Yeah. That's a thing.
Oh, my word.
Does paying for sex count as cheating for you all, says Bitcoin Boot.
Yes.
I would say so. Remember what was it that Bill Clinton said during the Monica Lewinsky hearings? He's like, asked this question,
Mr. Clinton, do you think that having penetrative sex is the only form of cheating? Or do you think oral sex is also a form of cheating? And he goes,
well, that depends on what your definition of the word is.
I swear he actually said that line. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Only a politician could lie that quickly. Hey? Unbelievable. So what do you think our new ministers are going to do with their first weekend?
I don't know, but I'm excited to see what Gayton's going to get up to. He's getting all the shine and all the limelight. He's excited, you know.
What does he say we got to do? I mean, has he already started making policies?
No, but he dropped like a video saying that he's going to make spinning an official sport.
Oh, Jesus. So official sport. He's probably going to make it compulsory and we're all going to have to... you know what? That's the problem. You give some people power.
So I'm just like, you know what? Let's go, Minister Gayton. Let's go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, in retrospect, he might have just got the right portfolio here because we were all thinking something serious like police or home affairs. And I think he had his heart set on those as well.
Yeah.
But now he's in charge of dumb shit. Like, I know some people are going to be very upset with me. Sport, arts, and culture. Do me a favor. I mean, like, that actually isn't anything to do with government, but fine. We've had a Minister of Art, Sport and Culture for a long time. In fact, for a while it was Minister of Sport and then Arts and Culture were a separate department. But now they've smushed them together because they really don't know what to do with those things. Mm. And what has government got to do with any of that? You know, the Arts and Culture department are always asking for money. Like, we can't afford to do... lesbian dance theory at this university. Can the arts and culture department sponsor it? Or we're putting on a musical. Can someone pay for it? Because no one's going to come and watch it. Yeah. Why must the taxpayers fund your shitty little dance project? I've never understood that. So the arts and culture people, I already know you're going to hate me for this, but who cares? It's not the government's job to keep sculptors and painters and dancers and rappers alive. It's not. And whenever, you know, some South African artist dies because they signed a stupid contract and the record company ripped them off, the whole country goes, oh, it's so unfair that these singers end up being paupers when they die. And I'm like, they probably lived large while they were doing well.
Oh, yes.
And then it becomes our responsibility as taxpayers to make sure that they don't live in squalor. Oh, bullshit. I don't see why it's our problem just because we like their songs. We've already paid for that. I used to pay so much for music. All right. I used to buy CDs in those days.
Oh.
That's how old I am. Super
yeah.
Okay. I have a passage in my house that is full of CDs. Okay. Like full. Can't throw them away because I paid like 100 or 200 rand for each of those. That's how much they cost.
Yes, that's a lot of money.
So I have paid musicians their fair share. And if the record companies took more than their fair share, that's between them and the artists. I didn't get involved in that. I didn't sign up for that. I just bought the product. But because I have all those CDs in my passage, and by the way, these are not the ones that I was given as a DJ to play at clubs and things. I'm talking about the stuff I bought, okay? I
didn't, like at Musica and stuff, eh?
In the day.
Okay.
Back in the day. It was a thing of pride to own an album of your favorite artist.
I just remember the posters that came with some of the CDs.
Yeah.
But
And there was stuff on the insert that went in the front, the cover art, all that stuff. It was a thing. Now we just like click, download, probably pirate. Doesn't matter. I've paid my dues for the music business. I'm not going to pay again just because some artist doesn't know how to save money for their retirement.
Hey, man, you must just negotiate.
They're buying sports cars and they're drinking every weekend and partying it up and going on holidays. And then what? When they're poor in their 60s, now I must pay for them, please. So the Department of Arts and Culture, that part of it, Gayton could just scrap that and take all the budget because South Africans love sport.
We do.
South Africans care about sport. Everyone except me. So I'm not going to moan and I'm not going to be the one who spoils everyone's fun. Let Gayton concentrate on sport. I don't know what he's going to do there because it always turns into how many whites, how many blacks in every team. You know how it goes.
That can deal with it. That's so boring.
It's so
the truth
boring.
Of the matter is we like winners. You know, if there's a team that is winning, everybody will rally up behind them, like facts. Right. And if you're a loser, we don't want to be associated with you.
Well, remember,
point blank, period.
Remember, Fikile said to Bafana, you are a bunch of losers.
Well, it's true. He wasn't lying. What have they won?
What has the sports minister got to do with any of this?
Well, I guess it's like maybe the funding of certain things, but also just supporting them, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe we should ask Ben.
Yeah, that's Department of Ben.
Department of Ben. I'm in agreement. All right, so Gayton has to work with the DA to make sports mandatory at school. So there's a DA Minister of Basic Education, Siviwe. Mm-hmm. I actually went to Germany with her a couple of years ago. Her. It was like a group of about eight of us who went over there. Yeah, it was interesting. I was kind of an add-on at the last minute. So I don't think I was really invited. I think they had an extra space.
The last minute.
Yeah,
you know,
but she was actually...
Because the viewer said, no, I can't make it. And they're like, let's get Gareth.
Exactly. It was something like that. I think they felt sorry for me. Anyway, Siviwe was there. And there were a couple of other people from political parties and media and all the rest. And she was there learning about coalition government long before it was a thing. That was probably, 6 or 7 years ago?
Okay.
So good for her.
Yeah.
I see her now as Minister of Education. I'm impressed. I think she's got a lot to prove.
I mean, if the only thing I would expect from her is just to increase the pass rate. That's it. But yeah, also Angie. Mom Angie is
Shem.
In defense. Now I feel sorry for our soldiers. They're going to have a 30% pass rate. Yeah.
So basically, if you invade us, 70% of the time you'll get through and you'll be able to take whatever you want. So if you want to invade our country, there's a 70% chance you will win.
Oh, Mom Angie. Nah.
Yeah, she must have like nudes of Cyril or something.
I know, right? That's what everybody thinks. She was going to be gone, but they're like, no. We are keeping Mom Angie. She's not going anywhere.
Basically, imagine her doing an inspection and like 70% of the soldiers aren't even dressed properly and standing out of line, but 30% of them are nicely organized.
Ooh.
That's how it's going to be. Marching like in various directions all at once. It's going to be great. So it wasn't just me. Ruth says she used to go to Musica, look and listen. I'd spend hours in those shops in the early 1990s. It was the best.
Okay.
Bitcoin Boy wants to know if I keep CDs in my car. No, don't do that. No, I'm a good hybrid because I keep those CDs, but don't ask me when last I put any of them into a machine and pressed play. I don't even know if I have a CD player. Kind of makes me feel stupid.
Yeah, cars also don't come with CD thingies anymore.
Uh-uh.
So, nope.
Yeah.
Get a Bluetooth now.
Yeah. I use my phone most of the time and Bluetooth, if everything's Bluetooth now. So, right? You don't need to worry about that stuff. Angie will be support for all the Mabenas out there, says Signet. Gareth, you love history. Our museums need restoring. Please don't. What are you talking to me like I'm a minister? I didn't stand for election. Johnny, calm down. Talk to the minister. Which minister would that be? Arts and culture.
Yeah, I think so. For the museums. And I think. I don't know.
Send Gayton an email.
Yeah, he's excited.
Yeah,
so
he wants
give it
to now.
Him.
Get in quick.
Yeah.
Before he loses his shit, because he's going to be like, everyone's asking me for things. You know, he'll get like, it'll
where's
be too
the money? Because
yeah.
He also has a limited budget.
Exactly.
So I think when he sees how expensive certain things are and how a lot of these things run, we live in fun times, guys. Because also in Gauteng, I don't know if they've actually announced if they've been able to come together. Our minister of, not minister, but.
No, they haven't. So what's happened is apparently the DA's decided, screw that, we'd rather be in opposition than take like the scraps from Panyaza's table.
Yeah, bo, which is also interesting. It's like, okay, so like on the one end, we've managed to like come together and the other end, we're just like, nah, we're not playing ball.
What are you doing there, James? We had to just see your backside in the show. I know, it is horrendous. Very embarrassing. No, it's okay. We had to see your backside in the shot. That's very, very, yeah, it's not the greatest way for someone to start a Friday morning. Let's just put it that way. Sure. Shame, this is nice, talking about starting a Friday morning properly. Louis says, your Friday show is my kryptonite. Best way to start the weekend, great show. Well, It's Simpiwe and Ben that can take the credit for that.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
I think no, it's probably a bad thing. Maybe he's being rude.
He is. He's being damn rude. This person says that he basically, his life is fine and the show derails
the show
him.
Comes and fucks him up.
Literally.
All right, Ben. Simpiwe and I were just playing around with the idea of Gayton being the Minister of Sport and Arts and Culture. I don't think arts and culture is hugely important. And someone corrected me in the comments and said, oh, but that's museums and things too. So, okay,
yeah,
maybe it is.
Libraries.
But why do we need a Minister of Sport?
I'd love to give you a really good answer.
But I'm sure you've thought about this more than anyone else. Simpiwe and I aren't as thought through on this as you might be.
A Minister of Sport is basically someone who can administer funds towards sport development. I don't see any other purpose for them because every sporting administration has administration, right?
Yeah.
Like, does Rusty go, shit, I'm not too sure what we're going to do at the breakdown this weekend. Who do I pick at loose forward? I'm phoning the Minister of Sport. You know, like, the protests come back from another World Cup loss and they go, psychologically, are we just fucked in the head? I need to call the Minister of Sport.
Yeah.
The Minister of Sport needs to go, right, guys, there's R1 billion on the table this year. What are we doing with it? And we need someone to go, great, well, look, netball's a huge participation sport in this country. Okay. Let's make sure that all the courts around the Northern Cape have these nets and these things. I don't see any other purpose for it. It's not like we go to the Olympics and the Minister of Sport's holding the flag.
Yeah.
There's very little use for many ministers, Gareth, as you know.
That's
and
true.
Sport is included in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sport runs itself. You've got highly committed people doing highly focused things. You don't need someone to shake their hand.
Especially politicians, not very good at anything.
No. I could be Minister of Sport right now. Oh. Okay, obviously I'd hire someone to do the finances and they'd do most of the job. But I'd be there to say, look, guys, I'll come out once a week on the bounce show and say, right, guys, we've put R13 million into wheelchair basketball because ultimately they've got fuck all else to do. So let's get them in a wheelchair and play basketball because this is the reality of society. Not everyone can be a rugby player.
Speaking of your show, you had Brian Habana on.
Damn
good. Very nice.
Brian Habana is a national treasure.
He really is.
He really is.
He's great. Did you see him, Simpiwe?
Yes, I did. I also watched the show and I noticed how Sandile was just a fanboy. Like, he was just like in awe of Brian Habana and he was just like smiling and like, yeah, it was so cute to watch.
Yeah. I mean, look, in his defense, I know Brian well. So Brian and I chat and Sandile's kind of sitting between the two of us and he's either waiting to interject or he's waiting to just ask something that's completely non-related.
But I heard he was also asking questions about Kez because that's like something they have in common.
I'll give you some insight into how the show works. It's very simple. Sandile is my co-host on the Bounce Show, and then we're going to have not guests every single week because it's not always warranted, but we have an intro. I give a little monologue to the, you know, set the tone. Then we're going to talk about three things with the guest. So right now, SA Rugby versus Ireland, very topical.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Brian is an analyst. Mm-hmm. Brian's actually physically working this week as an analyst, and he's obviously played so much.
Mm.
So we need to get as many insights as possible out of him there. And then once we've covered the bulk of this, then what we do is we ask shorter questions because then we get cut downs for social. Mm-hmm. We get little hooks for the show.
Okay.
So we are about 10 minutes in of Brian spewing all these amazing insights towards us. Okay. And there's avenues to go and there's directions to go. And I'm thinking this is great because now it's a good rugby feature. Sandile goes straight to the end where he asks one of his questions to wrap up. So he's like, no. We're talking about the greatest rivalries and stuff, and suddenly he goes, so Brian, Kez, who do you reckon the best athlete was?
Wow. Okay.
It was funny, but the funniest part of that, if you listen to the show, Brian talks passionately about the fact that Ireland versus SA is a big rivalry. Mm. So Dilly goes, Brian, I couldn't disagree with you more. Drops an absolute clanger and doesn't then substantiate why he disagrees, just goes into a different direction.
So in other words, like, actually, Sandile is he's the perfect sports fan. Because that's exactly what happens in every conversation I've ever had with any real sports fan.
Is that
they just tell you this is what they think and then they don't bother to substantiate why. They're like, what, you don't agree with me?
I'm right, you're wrong.
Exactly.
You know what? Love it. You know what? Most capped Springbok with most tries. You have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. But hey, what about this?
I love that.
But yeah, I mean, like Brian really is. He's just one of those guys you could talk to for so long. And we try to keep the show to an hour. But he's lived such a big life in rugby and he's still so heavily involved.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And such a nice, likable dude.
Yeah, I really. Like,
everybody in the studio here yesterday, like their day was made because Brian was here.
He's got a lovely kind of positive energy about him too. He just seems to draw people in. There's no one in South Africa who goes, oh, not Brian Abana. Everybody's like excited when they see him, which is a hell of a thing to achieve in this bloody country.
It is. It is.
Because everybody's looking for a reason to not like something, right?
You know, people say like you must have gratitude in life. Like you can see Brian's really appreciative of the life that he's had in sports.
Yeah.
He's worked damn hard for it, but he lives it still. It's like, this is so great.
Yeah.
Like my life's been good.
All right, well, from Ministers of Sport to the On the Bounce show, which if you haven't already checked it out, they are well into their flight now, so you can go and check them out. You can find it all on The Real Network, and we will post all the links in the comments below, so make sure that you join in there as well. Ben is here this morning, not for his health, though, but also to prepare us for a weekend of sport.
At least I have it back.
Hey, by the way, what happened to your – how did you get your back right, speaking of your health?
It got worse, Gareth. It got way worse. So normally,
what happened?
I just go to the spa, hot stone massage, bit of liquids, I'm fine.
But you had that golf thing on Sunday.
No, I didn't. I had to cancel that.
Oh, shit. That guy flew up specially?
I cancelled it while basically lying semi-fetal in the change room of the spa, struggling to put pants on. So I went and did
that's
all.
That's when you gave up.
That's when I gave up. I thought that's it. I went and did all the spa things, and then there's this one massage person, masseuse. It's mm-hmm. the second time I've had this person, and she's very good. She's very knowledgeable. Talks yeah. through these things. Reminds me how weak
masseuse
I am.
Masseuse is female. Masseur is male.
And then so you do. Obviously, you lie on your front, and you get your back massage. Then you got to turn over, and then that's how it finishes.
That doesn't sound dodgy at all.
That
doesn't sound dodgy.
But basically, it's a whole body massage, right? In the act of turning over, I had an even greater spasm than the Friday, and I couldn't finish the turnover. So I was kind of.
God.
And then she's thinking, I don't know what she thought, but she's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I'm really not okay."
She snapped your spine.
And it got worse, Gareth. It got absolutely worse. And I went to the dentist on Friday,
had
basically what I would imagine a root canal is.
Oh.
Well, the guy said I must fix a cavity, first cavity of my whole life.
Oh, so he had to clean it out, then put some filling in.
And then he said, look, I've gone really close to a nerve, so just see how it goes.
Oh, my God. He didn't give you injections?
No, he did. He gave me injections. But
yeah, those are sometimes as sore as
obviously when you bounce back from that. So I've been in pain for about 4 days.
You're just a disaster. Like, just
sorry, Ben.
Mark this on your calendar in red and never forget it.
Like, sorry,
Ben. There were some bad days, huh? And on heavy pain meds, lack of sleep, but I'm getting through it and I'm much better today.
Well, Rebellious Ruth says, I told you, you needed a Voltaren injection.
No, I've had one of those before. I can't do needles, unfortunately. I pass out.
Well, and they're putting them into your mouth?
That's somehow different because I don't see it, I don't feel it. Oof.
You know that's how the EpiPen was invented. You know, EpiPen for people who need to have epinephrine.
Yeah.
Their allergies or whatever they are so it hides the needle. That's essentially the special power of an EpiPen is that it's hidden behind you don't see it going in. So for
great.
People who are really afraid of needles, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, it's one of my things. It's one of my quirks.
Okay. All right. Well, enough about Ben's health.
Yes,
he's
please.
Here. He made it. He survived and he can move. You're a lot more mobile today.
Oh, yeah. I took the stairs today.
He's a lot more happy. He's not grumpy.
Jeez, you got a cloud hanging over you last, like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
It was.
Okay, so let's get into some sport. It is Beyond the Scoreboard and it's brought to you as every week by Superbet.
Really great weekend for the rugby. Mm. So the Currie Cup starts if you like domestic stuff. We'll get into that as it hots up a little bit. We've got four test matches to really look into international-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more, but you know, I've only got so much time. There's test matches basically from this afternoon all the way through to like late Saturday night because it is the summer window for the Northern Hemisphere teams, and it's technically the start of the Southern Hemisphere rugby season, although those things don't exist anymore. So New Zealand are taking on England at 9:05, so that's down in Middle Earth. Now, Scott Robinson is the new All Black coach, so this is a huge game for him and his charges. And a lot of these guys, obviously, like they just play Super Rugby Pacifica, so they don't get exposed to other people. Which is interesting, actually. It's almost like they're a prison team now. And then England, of course, well, they're never really that great when they tour. You never know if these Oaks are just on a piss-up or they're actually trying to actually further their careers. So I wouldn't think too much of the English performance there. Then we got the Aussies versus the Welsh. Now, we know the Welsh team isn't incredible. They're quite young, inexperienced. Mm-hmm. They took a bit of a hammering to the box in that tune-up match. So they'll be playing 11:45. And, of course, Australia are hosting the next Rugby World Cup. So that's like the big thing for them is how do we build towards 2027, I think it is? Yeah, okay. Don't quote me. But how do we build towards that? And they've had really bad things at administration. They've had coaches kind of walk out. Obviously, they had the whole Eddie Jones debacle. So that's going to be an interesting match because you've got two teams that are going to be really inexperienced and kind of untested. But that's 11:45. And then we've got the big one, obviously, the Springboks versus Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these Irish, they are due a beating. Now, we don't play them often, okay? So, okay. Like, since 2016, I think we played them five times, and we've won twice, lost the last three matches. And it's a big bragging rights thing, this, because they were the team that beat us in the World Cup.
Yeah,
I still don't think we played our best team anyway. But it's such a big game because these Oaks are so butthurt about the fact that they can't win World Cups. They just had a really tough, like, local season because Munster and Leinster won nothing in the trophy wise. And of course, Leinster was just at Loftus about a month ago, losing in the semis. So it's such an exciting contest. It really is. Because I think that the Bok team has got 20 out of the 23 guys who won the World Cup final, basically. Mm-hmm. They're there. There's a few injuries, unfortunately.
As usual,
as it happens. But the fact that we can still retain 20, I think there's a cumulative 966 caps.
Wow.
I think the average
experience.
The average forward or the average cap of a forward is like 56 or something. So it's a huge experienced team. It's a hugely exciting team. And Rusty's just saying all the right things in the week. You know, he's just such a great guy to have as your coach. I think he detracts so much attention away from the players, brings it onto him willingly. And yeah, we've got two really fantastic teams. They are ranked number one and number two in the world of rugby. It is the biggest game right now. I know SA versus New Zealand is the biggest rivalry, but this is huge. This is absolutely huge because we have to basically beat Ireland at home to justify the fact that we're world champions, because that's the thing when you're world champion. You've got to prove it every single time. And if Ireland come here and they lose, then it's going to be so embarrassing for them. Haven't won a World Cup, talk a whole bunch of shit about us and not beat us.
Okay, I have a question, right? Based off the Springboks and the last World Cup and some rules being implemented because of how they were playing and yada, 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 yada. How's that going to impact the game for Springboks?
Yeah, it's a good question because the rule changes could either make a huge factor in certain aspects of the game or we'll just not even notice it. Because, you know, we always want to scrum people because we're bigger and we're more aggressive than most people. Mm-hmm. That's just what we are. Whether our backgrounds are violent or we just like hurting people.
Are they trying to namby-pamby and safety it up? Is that what they're doing?
Well, look, there's a thing about player safety, which everyone needs to understand is a big thing because no one wants to be a vegetable when you're older. But there's also
don't play rugby.
That's also understanding that rugby is a contact sport.
I want to watch boxing, but I want them to actually hurt each other.
Yeah, it's like, I like architecture, but don't use stone. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that you've got to skirt around. So I think the biggest thing was that people will draw their attention to is that you can't call a scrum from a free kick. So if you're scrumming somebody and dominating them in the scrum and there's an infringement and the referee gives you a free kick, you can't say, I want to keep blixaming this oak. You've now got to run the ball away from them. So if you're a weaker scrumming team, then you can give away these kind of infringements, but then you also run the risk of giving away penalties. So I don't think it's like as big as everyone thinks. I think unfortunately, due to past actions, people think that World Rugby is against the Springboks because, you know, we innovate and then people are like, well, they're making laws now to go against us. They are trying to make the game faster, safer and more exciting.
Okay.
But that's also like these decades you think that playing Katy Perry music at every sort of breakdown is going to make the game more enjoyable. Rugby is rugby. It's a great game. Not everyone in the world has to watch it. We're fine by being relatively inclusive. I really think that is. If you want to play rugby, there is definitely a seat at the table for you.
And don't break it if it's not broken. You know, don't try and fix something that isn't in need of repair.
Not everything has to be football.
Yeah, and also don't try and attract people who are not interested in rugby. Like, you could put 1,000 cheerleaders on the field and you could have those huge, what do they call those massive TVs they have in like...
Jumbotrons.
Jumbotron. You could put one of those in the middle and you could have people singing songs and
choirs and God knows what else, it still wouldn't make people who don't care about rugby want to watch rugby.
That's such a good point. Not like, everything has to dance it. For TikTok.
Yeah, stop it.
Just like stadium DJs at rugby stadiums. I was watching the baby junior box, baby box, whatever they call them, was ever politically correct. They were playing Argentina last night and they were getting a hammering. Yeah. And the stadium DJ is playing Queens and no one bites the dust all over the place. So like there'd son be a line out. Why are you playing music? This is the biggest game in these young people's careers. Like, do they need to hear a pop song?
No.
Anyway, I'm ranting too much here.
No, can we get back good. To the rugby? Look, Simpiwa's yes. question got you fired up.
No, it is because we've seen it in Formula 1 too. Like, you know, people try to change the rules a lot. And then ultimately it pisses off the purists and it confuses the new people. So yeah. What's the point?
Yeah,
exactly. It's just changes for the sake of changing. And everyone just thinks, and I know it's because our attention spans are so limited and we're so like dulled from dopamine from our phones. It's like we constantly want to change things all the time.
Yeah.
Just let something be.
It's that, and it's also, and we hinted at this with the Minister of Sport discussion, it's also consultants. It's like they get in a team of people who've been highly educated and they say, how do we make the sport more inclusive? How do we appeal to more people? And these guys go off and do expensive research and come back with bullshit like play Katy Perry.
Yep. Look, a lot of the time, if everything's inclusive, then nothing's special. It's just basically socialism in other forms.
Mm.
If you people go, oh, I hate all these exclusive things, well, find the thing that's exclusive for you. And trust me, no one's going to stop you from getting into what you really want to put your time and effort into. Because if you bring value to something, somebody wants you. Just okay. Stop this inclusive bullshit.
Right.
Very okay, good. If you take that soundbite and those few words, I sound like a bigot, but... Trust me, it's just
someone will cut it. Don't worry.
It's fine. I don't care. It's just guys. Let's okay. let's make things great. Let's be obsessed about things. Let's be passionate about
all
things.
All right. What else, Ben?
I tell you what's not passionate. Like France touring, they don't send good players away. So now in Argentina, there's a tourist test series. So that'll be the last game of the Saturday at 9 o'clock, and there'll be Argentina versus France. But there'll be a young French team, a hardened Argentinian team will probably beat them. So that's your world of rugby for the weekend.
Very good.
And Curry Cup if you're into that, or if you live in a very small town where nothing happens, where a live game is probably the best you got. So Friday, today, the Euro 2024, we've got the quarterfinals kicking off. And this is exciting because as much as we like to see the minnows have a bash against the bigger teams, it's nice to get to the business end. And doesn't get any more business than the first game, which is Spain versus Germany. These are probably the two joint favorites right now.
Yep.
Spain score goals, as do Germany. They're incredibly fun teams to watch. Some of these games have been absolute snooze festers. Like they really have. People just haven't been taking a lot of risks. They're not being too penetrating. These two teams are great. And it's a shame that they're playing in a quarter. Portugal versus Spain, on contrast, I think will be a much more boring match. Mm-hmm. It probably may even go to extra time penalties. So those are your two games for today. And then Saturday, we've got England versus Switzerland. That'll be at 6. And Netherlands versus Turkey. Mm. Those are your two big games tomorrow. Again, not as exciting as Spain versus Germany. So if you want to watch football this weekend, put it all into 6 o'clock tonight. What a game. What a game. Spain were 1-0 down against Georgia. They won 4-1. Germany, from the off, have been great. They've been scoring goals. Toni Kroos's last run in the squad. He's an absolute hero and heartthrob to all German people. There's so much to look forward to in that first game. And the rest of them, yeah, cool. Enjoy them. British Formula One, though. So if you don't like rugby, you don't like the soccers, the footballs, Formula One at Silverstone. So it's one of the old tracks of, you know, the traditional tracks on the Formula One season.
Right.
And it's just so great that Formula One is interesting again. Like, it's super interesting. If Max Verstappen obviously went into Formula One with enough friends, and he sure as hell hasn't made any since then. And the way that he sort of tried to run Lando Norris off the track last week just showed how good Lando Norris now is that he's a contender that Max will try and just absolutely double cross any stage. Yes, Max fans will tell me it's called a racing line, and I get that. But it was fun watching how both of them threw themselves out of the race, and then George Hamilton, that androgynous skinny man, he won.
Androgynous.
I don't know what else to really say. He's got a real personality. So he won. You know, it's like if Star Wars was camp, he would be Luke Skywalker.
Oh, my word.
He came out of nowhere and won. It was great. So we've got Max versus Lando, which is a really big thing. Then you've got a guy like Oscar Piastri. He's a damn good driver. He's been doing well. And then you've got Mercedes of Russell and Hamilton at home, essentially, because they're both the British. wonderful Formula One to look forward to. Okay. And also in Britain right now, of course, is Wimbledon, early stages. But in the men's, we've already seen Hubert Hurkacz. If you're a big fan of Hubert Hurkacz,
that's a terrible name.
The seventh seed,
he's
out.
A very bad name.
Casper Ruud can't play on grass, never got past the third round of this. He's the eighth seed, he's out. And Stefanos Tsitsipas, yes. All the Greeks. Sorry, your guy's gone.
Yes.
Yeah, so Jannik Sinner and Alcaraz are through. They're the first and third seeds, respectively. Djokovic is second seed, but I don't think he's going to be the same Djokovic we'd know because he's come back from injury and he's old. In the women's, Iga Swiatek, well, she will probably win. I'm just going to say that straight off the bat. She's particularly good.
Okay.
She's straight through. Jessica Pegula, she's the fifth seed, also out. Marketa Vandorisova, the sixth seed, gone. And unfortunately for Chinese fans, Jingwing Zheng, eighth seed, gone already. Gone already sounds dodgy. So they're all out. And that's obviously first stage. So, you know, next weekend will be the final. So as Wimbledon progresses, every single day it becomes more interesting. And then finally, we've got the seventh stage of the Tour de France today. Now, in the Tour de France, as I was saying on the show yesterday, like if you can't afford a trip to Europe, it's basically like a holiday in your lounge. It's just so beautiful. All the scenery, you get to watch these people go to all these amazing places. It's not finishing in Paris for the first time ever because they've got the Olympics this month. So it's a bit of a different route. And today will be the seventh stage. What makes that significant is it's the time trial stage. So two of the stages in the whole thing is a time trial where it's just you by yourself pushing your body to absolute levels of pain and lactic acid, because normally it's a team sport, cycling.
Yeah.
So you guys will then cycle, then you'll get you to the front and they'll try and make you win. Whereas this one, it is just man, bike, 25.3 kilometers, and they're thrashing it out today.
Sure.
That's pretty much it for the sport, guys. That's it.
That's pretty much good enough for me, Ben.
If you want to get tips and other things, obviously go on the Bounce Show every single Thursday. And if you want to start with Superbets, use the code OTB.
OTB.
The code OTB will give you up to 5,000 Rand worth in sign-up bonuses. So there's so much to play on, and you get the bonuses when you sign up.
All right, so there's an invitation if you haven't had one before, and it sounds like a pretty good one. There's a reason to do this. It's not just us talking to you. It's also getting the information and then some money, some free money. Superbet supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. All right. So we've got a couple of things that are on the agenda too this morning that I wanted us to get to. First of all, apparently there's outrage over an erect penis in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So I watched the first episode of the new season. It was okay, but I haven't watched the second one. Apparently this happens in the third one, so I haven't seen it myself yet. Why is there a furore and uproar about this? What's going on?
Some people, while you compose yourself, being the only lady on the show here, I've got to ask a couple of questions around this. This Go Game on. Of Thrones feels like it's now Star Wars. It was like the nucleus was great, but now there's all these spin-offs with characters that you don't really know or care about, or prequel characters, post characters. I mean, is it to the point that now they've acknowledged this and now they need an erect penis to get attention?
Well, it does kind of get attention.
Yeah, but I mean,
you introduce an erect penis into a conversation, it tends to steal all the thunder of everything else.
Can you imagine the writer's room? Because Game of Thrones has had sex before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sex in that show before.
Yeah, I remember the Khaleesi, whatever her name is, the actress, because that's all I know her from. She was first like on the scene and nobody really knew. Emilia Clarke?
Yeah. Yes.
She was on the scene, nobody really knew who she was. And then she started with the Khaleesi role and she had her titties out and everybody was talking about that.
Yeah, and she had to have sex with that horseman.
That horseman.
Yeah, I mean, he must have been
totally naked, and then that was a big deal. And then, like, five episodes after that, she's like, I'm not doing any more nudes. So, obviously, you know, she wasn't profiled as much. I mean, she'd carried on. Who knows down what dark road it might have gone.
Oh, but they had numerous people. I mean, I watched Game of Thrones. There was so much sex in Game of Thrones, but never once did I see an erect penis.
So you think they've crossed the line. They've jumped the shark
here. This is the thing. There's two jumping of sharks here, right? Because they clearly need the ratings. The writers were obviously like, well, we haven't had an erect penis yet. Then the other side is that viewers are fine seeing sex, but when you show an erect penis, it's too real.
Hmm.
Now, is that the uproar? Is it because it becomes too real?
Well, I mean, like, you know, how do you draw the line again between art and porn, right? I mean, this is an ongoing question that...
Is it?
Well, it is. It's like photographers...
So tired of having these conversations with friends.
Photographers and models. No, what I mean is in any artistic environment, people are always like, how far can you push it until it crosses into like just this is straight up porn. That's what that is. And you have these conversations with people who do that stuff about what's acceptable, what isn't. If you're a modeling agent and you have to decide what your model should and shouldn't do, if you're a photographer and you need to decide what you should and shouldn't do, if you're a director and you need to decide what you'll show and what you won't, these are all questions in not just film and in advertising, it's in marketing, it's in all kinds of things. How much can you put on a poster before it becomes like, ew, that's pornographic?
Yeah.
And it's like tiny degrees. There's, you show this little thing, no good. You don't show it, that's sharp, even though there's very little difference. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to watch episode 3 specially for this. As I said to you, I haven't even made it to episode 2 yet. So the series hasn't hooked me in yet. Maybe it'll hook some people in. We will see in the ratings, that's for sure. Simpiwa is the only one who's keeping quiet. You did say to her, as the only woman on the show, now she's got to talk on behalf of all the women.
No, she does. I put a lot of cock pressure on her. Yeah.
Cock pressure.
I don't watch it, so I don't know what the show is about. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. But what I do know is that we've normalized like a lot of sex scenes in just dramas and series and movies. So I don't know why people are like, oh my gosh. And hearing you guys speak, they've been naked people having sex on the series before. So they shouldn't be as surprised. Maybe, was it a good looking, you know, maybe that's the issue.
Well, I mean, that's like, quite a subjective question there.
You know, did they get a good side of
was
it?
Was too it big? Nice was it not big enough?
You know, like maybe those are the kind of questions we should be asking, other than being upset at the fact that, you know, maybe some men are jealous.
Haven't we had, there've been a lot of new things that people have shown that they've never shown before on TV and on movies. I mean, movies have pretty much had, there have been erect penises on movies, haven't there? I don't know which
was
ones,
this
but
like
I'm pretty
a legit
sure this
one, because I know some of these things are fake and you know.
Well, apparently it was legit. Maybe that's what people were uproarious about as well.
Oh, so it wasn't like a prosthetic or a stuntman who was brought in.
No, it wasn't just some guy who was brought in. It was an actual actor with an erect penis, from what I understand.
Well, okay. We're talking about it, so it must have worked.
But that's, so you know, like there was the first ever like homosexual gay kiss. Mm-hmm. Is this one of those moments too?
That.
It's the first erect penis.
The first gay kiss? I don't remember it.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. They must have made a fuss about it at some point.
I mean, look, they start making movies and the first movie was This Man Kisses a Man. Obviously, there was a moment in the 70s or whenever.
He looked into his eyes at a moment and he knew he fell in love.
Talking about like taboo kind of milestones here.
I don't know. Anyway, it turns out, and I've got the article here, it's one of the actors from House of Dragon. His name is, he plays one of those Targaryens.
Right.
Ewan Mitchell. Okay. Ewan Mitchell. I promise you, if you haven't watched the show, you wouldn't know who he was. Apparently, if you happen to stumble upon HBO while flicking through TV channels on Sunday, there's a very real possibility you might have found yourself face to face with an erect penis.
Face to face? How do you watch TV? Right.
Yeah. And how long was it on the screen?
What are you right here?
Yeah, like, was that? It just like there for like 10 seconds? I don't know.
And then they take like a still in the article and they're like, fans were shocked by the sudden appearance of the penis. it's just, it amazes me that people are also. The person writing this article knows that they're like pretending that they're offended.
Fake uproars, maybe.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And they know that we'll click on the article and that's why they've done it. And,
but you know, we're quite desensitized because if you were to look at violence, okay, let's just take sex and violence in films.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The violence that goes and is okay in movies is ridiculous. You'll see any kind of way of someone getting killed, beheaded, beaten up, whatever it is, mutilated. But the moment someone has an erect penis, it's like, this is ridiculous. This is it. This is too far. Okay. So all the other violence that you see on general stuff, that's fine.
Well, let's just take Game of Thrones. I mean, there's
violence is more hardcore than sex.
There's people's heads melting. There's dragons burning people to death. I mean, it's all pretty violent, and now this is the thing that got people upset.
It's strange.
I think it's just people being jealous.
You think that's what it is?
That's it.
Okay.
Y'all just jealous.
All right, let's put it down to that. It's 7 o'clock. We don't have time to mine any deeper into this conversation, but we have lots of other cool things happening in the next hour. We're going to be talking to Ben. We got some Piwe here, and we'll be joined by a very special guest and someone I haven't seen for a very long time. She's out here visiting South Africa at the moment, and I think you're going to like seeing this face on your screen again and hearing this voice. She's a surprise. I'm not going to spoil it yet. We'll tell you who it is in a minute.
Game of Thrones character, House of Dragon.
No.
Who is she? Was she in the room?
No, it's not that guy. All right. It's just after 7:00.